propaganda.
Dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to a special PID radio broadcast. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we're going to be speaking to Russ Dizdar. Many of you who have listened to us for a while are very familiar with Pastor Russ Dizdar, and the reason we are putting this up as a special, as you know now, we're on Sunday evenings, and that's pretty much it, because of Derek's schedule and mine. But with the things that happened in Pennsylvania, we felt compelled.
We've been talking over the past 6-8 months, and noticing that there seems to be a pattern of bizarre and violent incidents taking place in a part of the country that is really scenic, pastoral, and by reputation, peaceful.
Well, rather than blather, let's not take too much of our guest's time up. Pastor Russ Dizdar, welcome to PID Radio.
Thank you, Derek and Sharon. Great to be with you again.
We've seen over the past year some very strange things happening in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. There was the shooting in Lititz, the young man, David Ludwig, who shot his girlfriend's parents. There was another case where a police officer was shot in the town of Lititz. There was the satanic ritual abuse lawsuit that took place in that area.
Mm-hmm. Also the case of the young man who shot a young girl's parents.
Oh, David Ludwig. That's what I mentioned.
No, wasn't there a different one? Were there two?
Just the one, as far as I know.
Okay, I apologize for that. Russ, you've recently been out there, though.
Yeah, we were out there, and that was kind of in response. We had a couple things that we were doing anyway, but because of the last time, I guess, I don't know, maybe 6-8 months ago when we talked, when you mentioned the doctor that got sued, it was something that just stuck, you know, in my heart, and I prayed for him for a long time. And so we drove there and just had a great time. We've been praying into Pennsylvania for about 10 years. We've been visiting because Pennsylvania is loaded with the underground stuff from the 50s, the internment camps, a lot of what we would consider the Nazi Germans that came began to unload their agenda. So what you see in Lancaster and Lititz, too, it was amazing. To me, it was a providential thing. When I went to Lititz and eventually found this doctor, and it was just, again, by God's grace, and we got together. He took me out for dinner. We talked quite a long time. I was also introduced to another victim from another person that we knew in the area that went through satanic ritual abuse and was hounded by a coven. She took me to, with her team, to Lititz and other areas, described places. I stayed an extra day and went down to the city of Lancaster, and just all around the area. There is a real sense concerning the area. There's been numerous cases. Talking with the doctor, talking with the folks in that area, they told.
Okay, we're going again.
Yeah, I just want to say right now, in case what you hear, if it sounds like we've edited Pastor Dizdar, we have not. I'll tell you what, yesterday, I don't know, Russ, if you're aware of this, but yesterday, we told you that our internet connection was down. Now today, Derek has kind of got a sinus thing going on. Our connection just quit on us a few minutes ago. It seems like every time we talk with you,
oh man,
something happens.
I've heard this before.
It did. It's happened every time we've talked to you. Well, the only other person that happens with is Tom.
Tom Horn.
Tom Horn. Wow.
And we had that one time the first time we tried to talk with Pastor Russ, his phone went out. And you remember that? Where your phone, you was like the only phone on the block that wasn't functioning.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, so we had to call. I mean, we even got on the internet worked, and I had contacted SBC that way. And yeah, that was bizarre too.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, we'll go back to where we stopped hearing you.
Sure.
You were saying that you had gone through and prayed with various individuals in the Pennsylvania area.
Right.
And you were talking with the doctor in
Right.
who'd been sued.
Right, we met with the doctor, and the doctor had been dealing with, an SRA, a satanic ritual abused person. They had, multiplicity also. He'd worked with this person for 10 years, had numerous things. I don't even know how that they were able to come back. A lot of it dealt with the secular side of the psychology in that area, their departments and so forth. And this person just came back and sued him after coming to a point in their life they thought that after 10 years that none of it was real and that he miscounseled her and sued and won $300,000.
Wow.
A case. Now, we've been through those kind of cases here. We've seen folks go, you know, right into court. And the issue is, inside of cult multiples, there is a denial programming. And if they're triggered to that side, that's going to happen. Just like if they're triggered for killing or triggered for running or triggered for other things. It's like they change, they change personalities. They completely and totally change. I read one of the reports about how the wife came out with a statement, and her first words were, "This was not my husband, not the husband she knew."
Now you're speaking we're about what now, just happened, the school shooting.
Charles right. Carl Roberts the fourth.
Charles, right. Yeah, this, because, you know, when you read all the stories about him, I mean, nice guy, family, children, all the kind of things like that, and then listen to the wife say that this, you know, to her it's bizarre that, you know, unless there's more to the story. And I don't want to read into the story, but yeah, it does seem like this guy, you know, had either lived a totally other, complete different life, or there's more to the story than's being brought out.
Now, just to place this geographically for people, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, is in southeast Pennsylvania, just to the west of Philadelphia. The town of Lititz that we mentioned earlier is just a little bit north of Lancaster. The town where the Amish the shooting occurred at the Amish schoolhouse is just a little bit southeast of Lancaster. So we're talking about a geographic area that's no more than 20 or 30 miles apart, one town from another, altogether.
Right.
Right.
And this is an area in which many many Nazis who were brought out of Germany on the rat lines after World War II were resettled in the United States.
Yeah, in fact, we interviewed you about this last year, so we will link to that interview so the listeners who aren't familiar with it can listen to that at length. But if you want to just capsulize what...
The internment camps where they kept German soldiers were there also. And from our studies into it, that when the war was over, those folks were just given different names and released. Of course, they brought a lot of their relatives there. And so you have a high concentration of Germans throughout PA that would have been connected to the old occult, you know, the old vision and version of creating a master race. So of 100 multiples or SRA victims that we've dealt with here in Ohio, and we're talking thousands of hours and traveling back into PA with them, every single one we've ever dealt with so far, they've either come out of PA or they've been taken to PA over a period of time for training. So it's not surprising that we're seeing, you know, this. But the area, I mean, the markings of this guy, and of course, looking at the pictures of him, I just wish I could, engage and talk to the wife and take a look at his background. And there's going to be more to that case. The area is really spiritually dark. When I drove through and prayer mapped Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the city, it's in vast need. Of course, a lot of places are of great awakening and revival. They have someone there that during ritual holidays, they have an actual building where they allow multiples to come, SRA victims to come, and stay there, and it's a lock-in. They literally keep them locked in. So they won't be triggered to other personalities and fulfill whatever it is, you know, the covens want them to do. Mm. It's littered. It's just deeply littered in that area also.
So is it your thought or speculation, and we are just speculating here because all the information we have is coming from the press and what they've been able to discover over the last 2 days, that this might be a case of a multiple who was triggered early somehow? Or could this be perhaps a test of the forthcoming Black Awakening that you've talked about?
Well, you know, because many people have written me about it, and it's the same kind of scenario we put in the book. It's the same kind of episode that we see coming, just like the one that occurred just not too far from Columbine, you know, a week or so ago. Mm-hmm. Again, the same scenario. Now, in both cases, they were in there to do sexual stuff. Now, even though we don't have a pentagram, an altar, and people in black hoods, here's the issue that I have with it. The same kind of markings, this hatred of God, the sense of wanting to go into these little girls, just like this other guy did, to desecrate them. The idea of even, you know, especially there, you know, the black mass deals with a virgin. So I can't tell you, because I don't know for sure whether this guy was triggered, and he is a cult model, but it has clear ritualistic overtones. You have a clear switching or snapping of personality. And obviously, in both cases, the scenario of, you know, just about when they're going to get caught, they commit suicide. Every cult model has suicide programming deep inside.
Is there some sort of power, some reason that they chose little girls as their targets?
Virgins.
Well, just in the concept of that kind of satanic ritual, there's more power to be drawn. The more you blaspheme God, the more you create torture, the more the higher level of innocence per se, the more points per, you know, you score. You know, if you're one of them, the more power you can possibly draw. You know, we don't have him saying any satanic language. We don't have anything else like that at this point. But we're going to look into it. Two of our folks from our class that we teach on Sunday night, the new course that just started, Confronting the Powers, they're going to the in the next 2 days through that area, and they're going to do prayer mapping. And then we contacted our friends in Lititz, that are – one is right out of Oxford, which is next to Lititz. They're going to check into the whole thing too, including the victim that knows – They're the ones that know the circle of, you know, the network of coven working anyway. And this girl who's a victim would have been this guy's age. And so if he is, she would, you know, they all know each other inside the system.
You know, I have a map on my computer right now of fatal school shootings that I've been putting together. And there's a cluster of three in that very area over the last 4 years.
Well, I just think that we should all, you know, just embrace the issue that this is going to, we're going to see more of it, not just out of PA, but other places. And it's a tremendous concern. It's not, I'm not going to say it's, you know, it could be the issue of being triggered too early, or the test scenario. I have a law enforcement corporal that recruited me to be a police chaplain. And after I was there for a while, this person was a high complex cult multiple that had deep military background. And part of the scenario for this officer was that they would constantly tell me about when episodes like this would go on, they would refer to that as tests. Now, I haven't talked to this person about this case, but the testing for the upcoming, you know, if you imagine, you know, 9/11 occurring, these kind of episodes occurring, the grid going down, you'll get the larger picture of what they call the Black Awakening.
Mm-hmm. When you say Black Awakening and trigger, can you explain to our listeners what can actually trigger someone who has been, has undergone this sort of mind control technique?
Right. And see, there's a lot of literature out now, and thousands of therapists, psychologists on the secular side, a lot of Christian folks that are working with folks, they found out, that when they begin to work with the inside personalities, where a human being's personalities have been split into sub-personalities and then trained, buried for later use. What I mean by that is that they do give them a code or a trigger, a phrase, a sound that the handler would know, the splitter and programmer would know. So when they give that trigger or that phrase, the sub-personality will immediately come forward, submerging the host personality. So you literally have what they know and what we call a switch. You could be talking to a 30-year-old fella that seems to be the nicest guy in the world, but if he switches, one thing we know in a switch, even the color of the eyes can change. Everything can change. You're dealing with a totally different person in the same body. Now, the difficulty on the coven side, and for all of us to understand, is that they understand how to demonize conjure spirits, and you can think in terms of a tree. On the inside of the tree, some of the branches would have, like, black crows, and some of the branches wouldn't. Same thing in a cult multiple. Some of those personalities are highly demonized, highly trained. Some of them are not. When the trigger is given, the inside sleeper personality will pop up. They have programming, and the demonic presence energizes them to do. And when that happens, in all of the cases that we've seen, we've only been able to bring, you know, by physically bringing them down until there's a switch back to the regular personality. So they'll go out and they'll do things. They'll harm. They'll kill. I've been physically attacked when this has occurred right in front of police officers. They had to chain the man, put leg chains on him, everything. This is the one that's person when he's laying on the ground, he switched back to himself and he cried out in a meek voice. You know, Pastor Russ, you know what's going on here? What's happening? And I have five officers in the room. I've got a detective holding his legs down. A little girl the day before had been slaughtered, stabbed 47 times, and killed in a ritual up in Alliance. And when I looked at him and spoke, to him, I don't want to say his name because he's still out there, but then he switched within a second. And Derek and Sharon, he literally lunged forward, chained the way he was, and this German type accent, but totally demonized, he screamed out in the room, "We are the legions that shall rule the earth." Well, that's when the officers just grabbed him by his, you know, legs and arms, everything, and took him to the psych ward. They took him to the psych ward.
Mm. Oh. We are legion, for we are many.
Mm-hmm. It was a pretty weird thing. And again, their concept is on the inside, there are, they're committed to what they call the order or the brotherhood. They all believe that they're part of the troops of Antichrist. And they're all waiting. You know, when we get down into the deep ones, even the cult loyal personalities that still will, even though they'd like to, cut my throat, they will still converse with me. And we've learned how to talk with them. And I have one that emails me consistently, and wants to come here to the area to deal, to talk directly. But they all can be triggered. And the Black Awakening is when, if you think in terms of, even if you say 50,000, now there's over 4 million diagnosed cases of multiple personality disorder. The majority are satanic ritual abuse.
And that's in the United States?
Absolutely. They have it in Canada. They have it in the UK. They're placed, guys, from the old Monarch Project. You know, one guy told me one day, he says, you know why they call them monarchs, don't you? And most of the monarchs have a purple butterfly tattooed to the left ankle, really tiny, small. Huh. That's the connection to the German side that was immediately brought over with the OSS when it turned into the CIA, Sidney Gottlieb and all those guys, the German doctors that came. Mm-hmm. The Monarch Project was created from that. You know, there was some say the MKUltra was first, some say Monarch was first, whatever, but one concept that they brought up to me one time, you know, kind of in a sneering way was, well, you know what monarch, you know, monarch butterflies is the only little creature that that's migrated to every continent on the face of the earth.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
That's very interesting.
It is. I mean, I checked it up, and it is. That butterfly has migrated, and the mentality behind their agenda is migration to, every, to plant them everywhere. And they were doing that. They were creating them down in the colony of Dignidad in South America, or South America rather. The tracking has been, we only know the tip of the iceberg, and it's horrific. And if this guy, Charles, that just did this, other than being a horrific, sadistic crime, that, but see, we've seen these kind of crimes right here. We've seen the same kind of thing. And it's usually sexual, then it becomes physical. But the concern that I have is that when cops arrive, the suicide programming, like out there again in Colorado, they kill themselves afterwards. And the reasoning for that is so that nobody can probe them, profile them, and find out the information and what they're all about.
Sure. I have a question, though. If they don't succeed in killing themselves, is someone sent to kill them? Well, in other words, a sniper in amongst the police officers?
Sure. Well, you know what they would try first? And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that you guys, I mean, the thousands of listeners, you have folks that have written me that are multiples, that are part of the system. They listen to the stuff. They're going to listen to this. And, yeah, the answer to that is yes. They call them watchers or an enforcer. Now, the first thing they'll do, though, is not just directly physically come. They will do spiritual stuff. They can trigger even on a spiritual basis, a ritual. When they do ritual conjuring, and they'll try to trigger things for shutdown programming, denial programming, or they might send a, you know, if they can send anything in a card, anything, even if they send a what they call a watcher in to just, you know, have a symbol on them, anything that would trigger shutdown, suicide, if they're on some kind of suicide watch. Now, down the road, I don't have any question. We've had a number of times. We had a federal officer's wife, I don't know how many times, was taken back by the Circle of Dominion where they caught her, they triggered a runner, and she would just run from us. I mean, we could not catch her. We could not catch her. And the next thing we knew, that she ended up at some payphone, the personality that was the runner called, and the coven came and picked her up and took her. She came back beaten up the next day. I mean, beaten up.
Oh, my gosh. Did she have any memory of the runner at all?
Well, her as the host, she doesn't have a whole lot of, you know, she did not have a lot of the memory. But the ones that went through the, you know, the punishment part of it, and or then they usually try to reprogram and re-demonize areas. They want to put more demonic presence in. They want to bury any personalities that are trying to get out, parts of them on the inside that don't want this stuff. That's why so many victims have shown up to the psych wards and to the churches. Well, that's one side of it. Part of the reason they're showing up all over is to test the system. Not all of them want free.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are intact. They're infiltrating. Folks, they're in churches. I can't tell you how many churches we've interacted with. Where they've had an individual, and it's like you don't even know what happened until after it happens, and they ruin things, they bring people down, they compromise a pastor, they cause great schism, and then they're out of there.
Mm. Let's want to change gears for just a minute, if you don't mind, Sharon, talk about the Buddhist visit we had here in
yeah,
Columbia.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And then there's something else that I want to talk about.
Okay. Here in Columbia, Missouri, we had a visit by Buddhist monks. Here,
Tantric Buddhist monks
within the last week, where they performed a ritual where they created, using colored sand, the mandala, which is a very elaborate and ornate design on the floor of a building.
It isn't just a pretty picture. It's a picture of a goddess.
Right. And once they're done, then they sweep up the sand, and they distributed the sand to people who had come to look at this, and they then just whatever was left, they poured it into a stream that runs through the center of town here. You studied the Eastern arts and the mysticism, Russ. What can you tell us about what this mandala really means?
Well, like, you know, again, anytime they create a sigil or a cultic design, just like the same thing in ritual conjuring, only it's different from a Satanist to the Buddhist like this. They're designing something that they feel has been spiritually inspired, and so they're designing a symbol. It's like you're ringing the doorbell of the other side. When you use a sigil or use a symbol or you're drawing for a conjuring, or if you're using particular candle magic or even certain musks, you know, smells, in their view, whether we believe it or not, it's to draw spirits and to bring them into or through the gateway of a sigil, a symbol, a ritual, you know, circle. And it all has spiritual significance. We can say that this is, you know, the Buddhists, what they were doing was a lighter level issue than doing like a black mass, because that was, I mean, try to go out in the public with, you know, 13 hooded people and they got a naked girl on an altar with, you know, blood in a stuff in a chalice.
I don't know. Some college campuses would let that go on too.
Yeah, the police would take notice here, though, I think.
Yeah,
maybe not on Halloween, but
right. So what we have there too, again, is the idea again of, and again, you have it, you know, cloaked in what seems to be very peaceful. I mean, I was in Golden Buddhism for about 4.5 years. I went to the Hopsin Temple under Master Ong. We learned how to leave our bodies. We learned the powers of the Fu and of Qi and building our Qi and what it takes to you know, and the whole goal was to allow these masters to come in, to literally come into our bodies, let alone to our heads, to give us information. And I didn't really go, you know, we could have all gone deeper into it. I got saved right in the context of going, you know, deeper into it and going to the temple and learning. But every bit of it from beginning to the end is all spiritual. It's all about, you know, interactions with the spirits. It's not just the sense of a peaceful spirituality. That's the outside coding. The inside is you're going to connect eventually to ascended masters. They're going to tell you things. And here's what you're going to notice in all of it, including the New Age. Those ascended masters, those advanced beings, as Paul von Ward talks about, they all have one thing in common. They are anti-Christ. They are anti-Christu. They are opposed to the real Christ. And once Jesus is brought into the scenario, there is a spiritual conflict. They want to operate with total exclusion to Christ, his name, his presence. That's how they can operate.
So basically they were doing a working to bring a spiritual force into our community through this this sigil, this mandala that they created.
Sure. And they would look at it as a nice thing. Like, again, a lot of what some tell me, they call themselves white witches or good witches. You know, some of the spells they do for blessings and peace and things like that. They just think that it's a nice thing. I mean, when we pray for a blessing over a city or a blessing over a person's life, we know we're doing a good thing. And, you know, they're just looking at it in a lighter level, you know, as far as occultism, they're looking at it as a blessing that they're doing something good, mm-hmm. that, they're connecting, but what they have done is they're opening gateways. They're allowing presence to come in to attach to an area, to a person, to an object, and they're allowing, because the demons have to have legal doorways to come through. Mm-hmm. And whether we look at it as a lighter level door opening or a really heavy duty type thing, that's how they get through. And they're the ones that spiritually inspire and design. If you want to call them, literally that was a ritual. I mean, that they did, but it wasn't, you know, an ugly, scary, you know, satanic one.
The local college students thought it was wonderful.
Sure.
Oh, how beautiful! These peaceful monks are here to bless us. Mm-hmm. Well, right. The image that they drew with sand was the Green Tara. From what I've read of her, she's sort of like the equivalent of Semiramis. She's the mother of all gods.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you do a little study on the goddesses, they're not Kali and others. And I have a pagan priest. We're an acquaintance as a friend. I brought him to my theology class. He worships a particular goddess also, but a goddess who would not show up and interact with us, of course, mm-hmm. through him. But you have Diana, you have Asherah in the Old Testament. You have, you know, gods and goddess worship. And again, they're cloaked because every demon is different. They all have a different name. They have function, but they all have the same nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that nature is going to be opposed to the living, personal, relational God of heaven and of his Christ. They will all have that same marking.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I want to take a slight turn, and this turn is going over to the St. Louis area. You know, we've had the Tantric Buddhists here in Columbia, but last month the St. Louis area had a couple of different baby snatchings. One ended up actually really well. The baby was returned, but the woman who kidnapped the baby took a knife, actually slit the throat of the mother. Just shortly after that, over, actually, I think it was at the same time. It just didn't hit the press right away. Mm-hmm. A woman was opened up by her best friend, who I think may have even been her cousin, opened up, the baby removed. The baby subsequently died, but the killer, the kidnapper, also killed the mother's three living children.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went back to her home and drowned them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, we looked in that case too. Now, in that case, she lived across the hall. She put the other kids in her washing machine and dryers to hide the crime.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just like Cain in the Old Testament to mm-hmm. hide the crime.
Yeah.
I see no ritualistic things, but evil without question. I mean, evil is evil, whether, you know, it's coming from the sin nature of a human being. Horrific evil, untold evil right there. Untold.
Well, what really struck me about it was that the fetus, the unborn child, died after being forcefully removed from the mother's womb. And right. I guess in my way of thinking, if it were a cult in nature, this would be a very young innocent.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and again, the inspiration of that, maybe this, like Judas in the scriptures in the Gospel of Luke, you know, Jesus knew who didn't believe, and he already had greed. He had the platform, and the Bible says at that last, you know, table that they were eating at, that Satan entered him. Now that's what led, you know, that's the inspiration. I believe it's the same thing there was a case in California where the young man attacked the woman at the door and carved something in her back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yes. Many of the, you know, cult crime cases we've looked at, and serial killers too, what is, you know, I look for what drives them. If, you know, it's one thing when they just, you know, their eyes glaze over and they do something. It's another thing if they've heard voices and they tried to fight the influence or fight the presence. In Judas's case, I'm not sure if he knew exactly what happened to him. Then again, understanding the nature of that side and how real it is, if they find platform in a person, they can send the thoughts, they can send involuntary thoughts, involuntary feeling to push them over the edge. We've seen this when we profiled suicide cases where I've done funerals, where it's no longer just the planned out suicide for a lot of folks, it's impulse suicide, where they're in the heat of the moment, their emotions are way out of, you know, all over the place, and there's just almost like if someone was behind them to shove them and say, do it. We find that being, that is how the satanic side works. That's how the demons, the spirits work. We've dealt with many deliverance cases in the area of suicide and people who wanted to harm. We had a intern of a large, large church got caught in the paper. He sexually abused a kid that came to church. He was working in the children's ministry. Well, of course, he ended up in our offices. And as soon as our team started to pray for him, and one of our guys was one of the other team members was Dr. Boyd, and he immediately, this man, he just began to manifest presence. There was two women in the room, and I don't even want to try to describe the sadistic, lustful, you know, I mean, he was like almost after the girls in the room, and that demonic presence had to be shut down and kicked out of there immediately because it took him over. He couldn't handle it.
Mm.
He couldn't handle it. And he was beyond himself. And when people open up to the dark side of their lives and the evil, what the Bible calls, again, the psychology of man is not just the secular. You cannot, the secular construct doesn't work. The biblical reality of a fallen human being that has a presence within that's almost like a cancer that drives. Romans 8 says it drives us to be hostile towards God, not want to submit to God. It's a presence within. Without Christ, that presence continues to lead us away. Now, that presence could be deeply connected, like in Ephesians chapter 2. The prince of the power of the air is now at work in those who are disobedient. There is a spiritual connection, a real spiritual connection between deep wickedness and demonic presence, mm-hmm. whether fully manifested or just kind of the, you know, put, you know, the influence that pushes them over the edge.
Well, sadly, we've seen it all too often in recent weeks, and as the time draws nearer to the end and to the Black Awakening, we'll see it more and more. It's not pleasant, but the Bible has shown us that this is what's coming. And Pastor Russ, we appreciate you, you know, being with us to you know, share your insights based on your experiences on the front line. And I'll tell you, we keep you in prayer and your team in prayer every night for discernment, wisdom, and for God's protection as you do battle with these forces face to face.
Well, when we get back from Lititz again, probably here in the next 30 days, we'll send you an email just to, you know, let you know what we've found and what's what else is happening in that area.
We really appreciate that, Russ. Where are you going to be over Halloween?
You know, we have been taking our teams to the Kent State, Ohio area. They have a Halloween party on Saturday night. 2,000 to 3,000 people come out onto the streets, pack the streets. They're dressed in costumes. And pretty much it's a funny thing to see. Now, Kent has been an area that we've tracked down a Nazi coven area, you know, that we've looked at for 10 years. A high pagan, Wiccan, New Age, and very liberal area. So we've been taking teams up every Friday night just to pray, pour out prayer through the city, walk the city, drive the city, and do some evangelism and encounter individuals. We're doing that for 6 weeks. On that night, the goal is to take 30 people for 3.5 to 4 hours of just evangelism and sharing Christ. And we may even have a small drama team of folks that they're going to be looking like they just came from hell. They'll have signs on them, says back from hell. And they're going to, but it's going to be a little drama where, based on the biblical picture of the guy that went to hell that wanted somebody, you know, he wanted them to get somebody to go tell his brothers.
Right, the rich man.
About how real it was. So it's going to be a drama that's that will interest folks, and we may have a small musical team with it. And then we will do some basic evangelism, sharing some things. And so that's going to be where we're going to focus on that Saturday night. Now, on Friday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, we'll just, wherever we really feel led, whether we're out deep in the woods or whatever we're tracking down, we're just open to wherever God's going to put us in those days.
Literally
trying to scare the hell out of people.
Yeah.
If, just like Paul said to the king, if we could get everybody, I mean, who wouldn't want to? I can't help it. I want everybody to go to heaven. I want everybody to know the love of God. And I would love to have engaged this father of before he ever did what he did. I wish we could have gotten to him, because Jesus has the power, the grace, the might, the authority, the wonder of being able to free people from this evil and change their lives in a heavenly and awesome way.
Amen. Well, if anyone wants to support you through prayer or help to support your ministry financially, how do they do that?
Well, they can go to the shadowofthedarkness.net website, and you know, there's a lot of things. We just changed it again and put some new stuff up. And they can find all the contact information, check us over, and you know, we'd ask all the believers out there to pray for us, because we have a lot of folks that send us from the other side that hear us, and you probably hear you guys too, that send stuff that's not good. But we appreciate the prayers, and we just trust the Lord for the support.
That is amen. Now, is your book out yet, Black Awakening?
You know, I'm glad that we held off, because we just this month we've added some content. I just changed the Black Awakening website front that it's hard for me to say, and over the air I won't tell what month it's going to, you know, come out, but all I can say is I am working on it hard. We want it out, and people are begging for it. People sent money, and one fellow sent money for, you know, I had to write him back and say, I can't, you know, we can't do this yet. But we did upload all three of the old seminars that the book is based on, called The Black Awakening. We just uploaded it today. It's on the Shadow of the Darkness preemption site. If you go to shadowofthedarkness.net/preemption, under The Black Awakening or Satanic Ritual Abuse, you will find 3 1-hour training sessions from about 4 years ago that is kind of the outline of the book, and goes into the creation of multiples, who's behind it, the demonization, the triggering, the splitting. And there's 3 hours. It's free for anybody that just wants to get it and download it.
Oh, wow. God bless you, sir. That's a treat.
Yeah.
That's an odd way to say it, but it is a treat.
It has to get out there. It really does.
It does. And our time is short. I mean,
sure.
I don't mean tonight on this interview. I mean our time on this earth is short. We are running out of days to spread the gospel.
Yeah. Pastor Russ Dizdar, thank you for joining us tonight on PID Radio. We sure appreciate it.
Hey, love to you guys. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Going to step up to the microphone. Say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here. Don't let the hard times get you down. All the days will disappear. There's a new day coming. A new day coming down. There's a new